The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you.
When the days for Jesus' being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens, and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And to another he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home." To him Jesus said, "No one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. It's a little bit of context that probably will help us today in looking at this gospel passage. We have here Jesus making his way to Jerusalem, but it's a pilgrimage unlike many of the other pilgrimages that would have happened at the time to Jerusalem, and Luke gives us some cues as to what's going on. Luke says to us that Jesus sent messengers ahead of him to Jerusalem. And the word, if we'd have read this in the Greek, you all would have understood, the word that Luke uses here to talk about messengers is also the same word as angels. And as soon as we hear that word and see this pilgrimage that Jesus is embarking on, we would think of the Exodus. Because Jesus now, in this trek to Jerusalem, is going to accomplish his Exodus, the new Exodus. And just as in old, God frees Israel from Egypt in the Exodus, so now in the new Exodus of Jesus, God is freeing his people from their slavery to sin. Just as in the old Exodus, God gives to Israel the promised land, fulfills his promise to them, so too in Jesus's new Exodus, we see the definitive coming together of heaven and earth so that we can all live in the new land given to us by God. Okay, that's the context out of the way. But what is the push of this passage? What does Luke want us to see? And what do we see in Jesus' words and in his actions? It has to be the urgency of discipleship. It has to be. And we could think back to the first reading also. It's a scene that I love. I will say that. I love that scene. Here's Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha's called. And what happens? What are you doing to me? Right? But he follows. What does he do first of all? He's plowing the field. Yeah, he's working his job. That's his sustenance. That's how he supports himself, his family. Right? He's working the field. He's called. He kills the oxen. He slaughters them. And then if that wasn't enough, right, because you think, well, okay, fine. He kills the animals. He's going away. They're not going to be able to survive without him. Then he breaks up the plow, right? He chops up the plow, and he sets fire to it, and then he cooks the animals on it. Then he gives all the food. It's an amazing scene. What has he done? He has obliterated his past. He's given up complete. There's no turning back. There's no turning back there. His eyes are all, he's facing ahead. He's moving forward. Right? The urgency of discipleship. We hear echoes of that in this passage today. Let's walk through with Jesus and see what he encounters along the way. And this is, I love this part of the passage too. He goes to a Samaritan village, right? He sends his messengers prepared away. They go to the Samaritan village. We're not going to receive him. Okay, why? They're not going to receive him because, okay, he's going to Jerusalem. They understand that this is a perilous pilgrimage for a guy who's mounting a rebellion against the powers that be. And they know where that ends. That ends in death. And they don't want any part of it. They're not even going to let him into their town. It's too radical. So what do the disciples say? Do you want us, do you want us to just call down a bit of fire? Why don't we'll burn him up. We'll move on, right? That's not the way. Okay, I mean, I like it, but these guys like it too. You know, this is why they're seminarians. They get some sense of this, let's burn down that village. Okay, well, you see us back here playing with fire. That's one of the draws of the priesthood, is we get to play with fire. Well, you said, no, we're not going to, Jesus' procession is not a triumphalistic procession in the sense that it's everything or nothing, right? We're going to burn everyone. You come with us or we're going to burn you down. That's not the point. The journey to Jerusalem is the way of the cross, which is loving service to the point of self-sacrifice. The way of the cross is good for everyone. We may not know it. Some people may not know it yet. That's our job. Some people may not know it yet, but it's good for all. No one gets burned up in its wake. Everyone's invited to fullness of life. But that life comes about through death. We'll go back to that. Jesus encounters some people, some would-be followers, and you can see the joy that people have in their lives just in encountering Jesus on the way. Lord, I'll follow you. I'll follow you. He says, well, okay, but it's not going to be easy. You'll follow me. I'll go wherever you go. Well, I'm going all over the place. I'm not going to rest. Are you going to follow me? And we don't have any sign of what happened, whether they did or didn't, but we know that his group was growing at the time, so we might think that they did. But that initial excitement now, right, those seeds, the word of God that's being sowed in these people's hearts, now has to find some roots. But it finds roots in their following Jesus. Okay, so it's not going to be easy. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. We see also people coming to him, and they want to follow, but they have obligations. Let me go and bury my father. Well, I mean, we may all step back and say, we're a little more compassionate than Jesus here. It's not actually true, but we can live in that life for just a minute, where Jesus says, let the dead bury their dead. Right? Could you imagine if people come here, Father, like consolation, right? A loved one's died. Oh, come on. Let the dead bury their dead. Oh, why are you taking offense? That's what Jesus said, right? You come to me for the words of Jesus. But it doesn't seem to be terribly compassionate. What's going on? Here, the objection is, say, the most important duty that a faithful Jew can take on is that of burying their parents, right? Burying their kin. It even supersedes the necessity of praying for them. So Jesus is taking the most honored custom, and he's saying, not even that. Not even that. Discipleship comes first. Follow me now, right? And we can think again, Elijah and Elisha burned up everything, and he's following. And what's Jesus' last lesson here? Right? Whoever sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, why is that? Because we can, as soon as you turn around, look, I think we've been through this before. We're not living in an agrarian culture. We don't know what it really means to farm the land. But you're plowing straight ahead. You're looking at where you're going. We're plowing in a straight line. As soon as you turn back, even if it's straight, now it's not. Right? Even that little line, we can look at singing. If we're concerned about how we sang the last line, we may not hit the notes right on this one. We're consumed with something else. We've got to live in the moment, right? And this is it, is that discipleship is this present reality. It doesn't matter where you were yesterday. It doesn't matter where you were 2 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, 2 hours ago, 2 years ago, 20 years ago, however old you are, whatever, doesn't matter where you were. You're here now. Jesus has called each and every one of us here to this very moment in order that we might follow him in faith, in order that we might have our lives transformed by the journey that he is undertaking in us, this journey to Jerusalem, this journey of loving service to the point of self-sacrifice. We commit ourselves to him today. We commit ourselves to him right now in this moment. Right, it was Oscar Wilde who said, every saint has a past, every sinner has a future. It turns on this moment now that we have to offer our hearts and our lives to God in the sacrifice of Jesus, that we might also die to ourselves and our own dreams and desires and ambitions to live in the surpassing greatness of what it is that God has in store for us. God wants to give us more than we would give ourselves. And we have to give ourselves up to him then in order to receive what he has in store for us. And when we do this, when we turn over our hearts and our lives to God, we see what St. Paul is exhorting us to today. He says, be slaves of one another out of love. Be slaves of one another out of love. There is no greater freedom than that. There is no greater freedom, there is no greater glory than our being slaves to one another out of love. And why? Because most fully, that's our mirroring the love of God made manifest to us in Christ Jesus. We are becoming Christ. We are Christ when we are slaves of one another out of love, and we experience the freedom that he's given us. The God made manifest in Christ Jesus once for all, the God who becomes flesh again for us at this altar, whom we receive into our flesh, into our hearts, so that we might become Jesus for each other and for our world. Let's have Jesus light up our lives today. Let's follow him to Jerusalem, that we might, yes, die to ourselves, but live in the great and surpassing grandeur of God and his plan for us.